Welcome to Journal Club for November 30th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. This paper is about a great piece of software with a terrible name. It's called GlowWord by GRU. At a high level, this research is all about sentiment classification. It's about building a tool that can classify user comments, posts, and other freeform text as either positive or negative. Imagine that you work at a place like YouTube. You have lots of videos. People can thumb up or thumb down them to indicate if they like it, but they can also leave a comment. One popular video could have hundreds of thousands of comments, far too many for a team member to review. But you do want to review those comments somehow. You want to feed the overall sentiment of each comment back into the system as if it was a thumbs up or thumbs down. So you have a bunch of text, and you need to convert each blob into a Boolean. True if it's a positive comment, false if it's negative. And of course, you need to do this at scale, as quickly and cost-efficiently as possible. What do you do? Well, your first instinct may be to throw the comments at an LLM, but that might be overkill. You wonder, is there a slimmer, cheaper way to do it? Is there a lightweight way to take massive amounts of text blobs and perform binary sentiment classification on them? That's what this paper is about, and that is what GlowWord by GRU is. Let's chop that horrible name in half. GlowWord is a portmanteau of Glove and Word2Vec. These are both pre-trained word embedding models. Prior to doing the classification, you need to convert the text blobs into a series of vector embeddings. Glove and Word2Vec are two different ways to do that. This paper combines them using a fusion technique, but don't worry about all that yet. All you need to know right now is that GlowWord is the glow from Glove and the word from Word2Vec, GlowWord. By GRU. After the text blobs are converted into embeddings, it's time to run the actual sentiment classification on them. For this, the authors are using a GRU, a gated recurrent unit, which is a specific type of recurrent neural network. GRUs get fed text in a specific order. They don't look at all the words at the same time, they read a sentence in the order in which you feed it to them. For this paper, they fed the GRU each sentence forwards and then again backwards, so that when it was evaluating the sentiment of a sentence, it would get the context whether the contextual clues lay in the beginning of the sentence or the end. Feeding the sentences to the GRU both ways is called bidirectional. By GRU. So to recap, GlowWord by GRU is a sentiment classifier that takes text, creates embeddings with a combination of Glove and Word2Vec, then feeds the embeddings into a GRU beginning to end, and then also in the reverse order. Now we can double back and look at the components in more detail. But first, some context. Sentiment classification without LLMs has been done for years, so what unsolved problem were the authors actually trying to solve here? The problem is the loss of contextual meaning in traditional text representation methods. Sentiment classification relies on understanding the nuanced emotions and attitudes expressed in text, which often involves complex semantics, idiomatic expressions, and subtle contextual clues. Traditional methods like lexicon-based approaches and classical machine learning models such as Naive Bayes and SVM required extensive manual feature engineering. These models were limited by their inability to capture nuanced patterns, such as sarcasm, double negatives, or shifting sentiment within a sentence. They relied on bag of words, or TF-IDF representations, which treated words as independent entities, completely ignoring word order or context. As deep learning gained traction, models like convolutional neural networks and recurrent neural networks became popular for sentiment classification. CNNs excelled at capturing local patterns such as phrases, but struggled with long-range dependencies in text. RNN variants, including LSTM networks and GRUs, addressed these dependencies by processing text sequentially, retaining contextual information over longer spans. However, these models still face challenges in distinguishing between global and local context effectively. Furthermore, their performance heavily depended on the quality of the text representation fed into them. Word embeddings like Glove and Word2Vec revolutionized text representation by encoding words into dense vectors based on their semantic relationships. Despite their strengths, both approaches had significant drawbacks. Glove's reliance on global statistics sometimes missed fine-grained nuances, while word-to-vec's local focus often failed to incorporate broader contextual relationships. The author's solution, GloWord by GRU, addresses these shortcomings by fusing Glove and word-to-vec embeddings to leverage their complementary strengths. By concatenating embeddings from both models, they created a richer representation of words that incorporated both global and local contextual information. This dual representation allows the system to better capture nuanced sentiment patterns and handle a wider range of text inputs. So, what does their system do? Well, the steps I talked about at the top are the big ones, getting embeddings and running classification. But there are actually a bunch of other smaller steps here that you should be aware of too. To zoom out for a second, the system they built is an inference pipeline. At the core of it is a model, the GRU. That model needed to be trained, and they used an IMDb dataset to do it, since it contained thousands of user comments and reviews. They separated it into 32,000 pieces of data for training, 10,000 for testing, and 8,000 for validation. But before they could actually train the model, the IMDb data needed to be cleaned up a bit. That's where pre-processing comes in. Normally, I wouldn't spend much time talking about pre-processing, but in this case, I have a reason to. I actually have a mild critique of the author's methodology here that I will save for the end of this presentation, and my criticism revolves around the actions they take in these pre-processing steps. So, let's look at them. 1. Non-alphabetic character removal. All characters that were non-alphabetic, such as numbers, punctuation, and special symbols, were replaced with spaces. 2. Lowercasing. All letters were converted to lowercase to standardize text and avoid treating words like happy with a capital H and happy with all lowercase as different entities. 3. Stop word removal. This eliminated common words such as the, is, and that have low semantic weight and are less likely to contribute significantly to sentiment classification. 4. Excess space normalization. They replaced multiple consecutive spaces with a single space, ensuring uniform spacing across the text and improving consistency. 5. Tokenization. They split the clean text into individual words or tokens, which are easier for subsequent embedding and model input processing. 6. Single character word removal. They removed isolated single characters, like A or B, as these are usually less meaningful in sentiment analysis. And 7. White space trimming. They stripped leading and trailing spaces from the text to ensure cleaner input formatting. Once the pre-processing steps were done, the next phase was the GloWord part, the fusion of Glove and Word2Vec. This step was taken whether it was for a training run or an inference run, because in either case, the GRU model only dealt with embeddings, not the words themselves. Let's talk about the two parts of GloWord separately, then describe how they were fused together. Glove, Global Vectors for Word Representation, is a word embedding model designed to capture semantic relationships between words based on their global statistical co-occurrence in a corpus. It begins by creating a co-occurrence matrix, where each entry represents how often a word appears in the context of another word within a predefined window. This matrix is then factorized into dense vectors using a weighted least squares objective function that ensures the dot product of two word vectors closely approximates their co-occurrence probability. The model is particularly effective at capturing broader semantic patterns, including analogies. Inputs to Glove are a large corpus of text and a co-occurrence matrix, and the output is a fixed dimensional embedding for each word in the vocabulary. Word2Vec, on the other hand, is a predictive word embedding model that generates vector representations of words by using a shallow neural network. It comes in two variants, SkipGram and Continuous Bag of Words. SkipGram predicts the surrounding context words given a target word, making it ideal for learning embeddings that capture relationships among infrequent words. Continuous Bag of Words, in contrast, predicts the target word from its surrounding context, offering faster training and better performance with common words. Both variants use a window size to define the context and optimize embeddings by maximizing the probability of observed word context pairs. The input to Word2Vec is a tokenized text corpus, and the output is a context-sensitive embedding for each word in the vocabulary. The authors fused Word2Vec and Glove by concatenating their embeddings for each word in the vocabulary. Specifically, for a given word, the corresponding Glove embedding and the Word2Vec embedding were joined into a single vector. That is, the embeddings were concatenated along their feature dimensions, meaning that if Glove produced a 300-dimensional vector and Word2Vec produced a 300-dimensional vector, the resulting fused embedding for each word was a 600-dimensional vector. This concatenation was performed element-wise for each word, ensuring that all features from both embeddings were retained in their original order without any overlap or loss of information. Okay, let's pause for a second and review where we're at so far. At this point, the system would have taken a bunch of reviews, pre-processed them, ran them through the Glow Word Fusion system to get embeddings, and now one of two things need to happen. If this is model training, then the embeddings and the corresponding sentiment labels get fed into the GRU to train it on recognizing patterns and relationships between word embeddings and sentiment classification. If this is model inference, it gets fed into the GRU in order to get a result, an actual classification. The authors did a whole bunch of both, of course. First, they trained the model for thousands of iterations, then they ran inference for thousands more to validate the model and see how well it worked. Before we move on to the results, let's go a little deeper on the bidirectional GRU to make sure we're understanding the inner workings here. A gated recurrent unit, GRU, is a type of recurrent neural network, RNN, designed to handle sequential data by maintaining dependencies across time steps while mitigating the vanishing gradient problem. A GRU consists of two primary gates, the update gate and the reset gate. The update gate determines how much of the past information needs to be carried forward to the current time step, effectively balancing between retaining memory and incorporating new inputs. The reset gate controls how much of the past information to forget, allowing the GRU to selectively focus on recent context. At each time step, the GRU computes a hidden state based on the previous hidden state and the current input. Mathematically, the hidden state is updated using a combination of weighted input and gate activations, ensuring efficient and context-sensitive processing of sequential data. A bidirectional GRU, BiGRU, enhances the capability by processing the sequence in both forward and backward directions. In a BiGRU, two separate GRU layers are used. One processes the input sequentially from start to end, the forward direction, and the other processes it from end to start. The hidden states from both layers are concatenated at each time step, combining information from both directions. This dual perspective allows the BiGRU to capture dependencies and contextual clues that might appear earlier or later in the sequence. With all these pieces in place, they trained the model and tested it. Here are the results. The GlowWord BiGRU pipeline outperformed traditional sentiment classification approaches across several key performance metrics. The model achieved an F1 score of 90%, precision of 88.7, and a recall of 91.7, indicating a balanced ability to correctly classify both positive and negative sentiments while minimizing false positives and negatives. The model's accuracy was 89.96%. When compared to alternative models, such as those using standalone Word2Vec, Glove, or other deep learning architectures like CNNs, LSTMs, and unidirectional GRUs, GlowWord BiGRU consistently delivered superior results. So overall, I'd say the research was a success. But before we go, I promised you a mild critique of this paper, so here it is. The whole point of the bidirectional GRU was to get more context in order to classify sentiment more accurately, right? In the same vein, the whole point of combining Word2Vec and Glove was to get more well-rounded context into the embeddings so that it can classify with more contextual information, right? Well, if that is the case, if the goal is truly to gather as much contextual information from each blurb or paragraph as possible, then the pre-processing steps don't make much sense. 1. They started with sentences that had punctuation and they stripped it out, so things like question marks, exclamation points, and other non-alphanumeric characters that are designed to provide contextual information were lost. As far as sentiment is concerned, whether a sentence ends in a period, an exclamation point, or a series of exclamation points matters. 2. They started with paragraphs in whatever case the author had written in. So if an angry review was all caps, they had that context, but they normalized everything down to lowercase and lost that contextual information as well. 3. They lost single letter words and stop words. These are less likely to provide meaningful information, but their contextual value wasn't zero. And 4. Normalizing all spaces down to a single space again loses context. This is free-form writing, just like a social media post. It's not unreasonable to think that some users will use strings of extra spaces and new lines to create dramatic effect. Again, by removing these things, context was lost. So, for all the work they did to retain context, they seem, in my opinion, to have missed the lowest hanging fruit, the context that was there prior to pre-processing. That being said, the authors were, in some ways, hamstrung here. The tools they were working with likely expected pre-processed and sanitized alphanumeric text in order to generate the embeddings. But what I'm saying is, using those particular tools was a choice. They could have gone a different route and used tools that preserved all the contextual information rather than leaving it on the cutting room floor. Perhaps in future research, they'll do just that. So that's all. As I said, a minor critique. Overall, I thought the authors did a great job with this research. At everything except naming. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.